weather, to have Pastor Robert Harding be our guest speaker, our guest pastor. His scripture that I see here is Matthew 1, 18 through 25, and Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. But it wouldn't be complete unless I also introduced his lovely wife, Linda, who was, well, she's moved over a little bit away from the piano, but she stepped in for us this morning, and I think that's a very beautiful thing to do, to have a gift like that and have the opportunity to share it, especially in this Christmas season. Without any further ado, Pastor Bob.
Thank you, John. Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good to see you all here today. We're glad to be here as well. Grateful that we thought ahead to stay at the Hampton instead of coming down from South College Avenue in Newark today. So you might be thinking of us as we hit the road on the way back up. But that's all good. It's all good. Let me get myself situated as I'm just getting started in this pulpit this morning. We were thinking of just being right down there and get everybody real cozy, but we'll all be cozy in our hearts, right, as we get together. So that'll be a good thing. And can I just, I don't really need this, right? I can just kind of get it out of my way, okay. All righty. And I've got till noon, is that right? Huh, John? Okay. All right, well, we'll see how that goes too. Linda and I are very grateful to be here today. And the Lord has blessed us to just complete our ministry in Middletown at Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church after 43 years there since 1982. And we had quite a day of ministry yesterday. We have still continue with a monthly men's breakfast at Bob Evans in Middletown that I lead. We have several guys that come to that. And some of our Gideon friends joining us as well. When the ladies got the idea, said, well, you guys are getting together. Maybe we should get together too on the same Saturday so we're not missing other time that we can be together. So they get together at a ladies' place on a big farm north of town, and they have a little time together in this as a monthly meeting, but they also have Linda leads a weekly Zoom prayer meeting, prayer for discipleship. And I've heard you've been thinking a lot about discipleship with Dr. Gross, and that's a great thing. We've been blessed to have Dr. Gross minister in our church as well. And so my wife has really been focusing on this as best she can in her life and being conscious of seeking to disciple others as the Lord leads. So that's all been really good. Now, I do need to share just a little more you might get better acquainted with me. And that is that we have a lot of good memories about this area because my mom and dad lived in Shipbuilders Village, I believe it is, over there in Milton for a number of years. And they loved it over there. And our children were much younger. And so we would meet at the Denny's and trade. You know, they would take the children or whatever. And that's how we worked at the Denny's in Dover. And then my mom would take my son away for a week, and she would help him homeschool by doing coloring pages, but their big thing was to go over to the ferry and just hang out there and just see what they could see. And so then one weekend, one day, my wife and I, Lynn and I decided to head down, take Drew down to the ferry and just hang out a little bit. And when we got down there, there was a crew member on the ferry, and they just docked, and he was just hanging out a little bit. And he took one look at my son and said, "Oh, hi, nice to see you again." And they looked at us and said, "Who are you?" So that's just an idea of how much my mother and son hung out together there at the ferry and really enjoyed it. And that was just one of the wonderful memories that they shared together and that we enjoyed. My parents would attend Eastgate Church in Potnets. And so those are all good, encouraging times that we remember about being able to be here in our years of ministry in Middletown. I'm trying to see, get myself situated to make sure I can keep my eye on things. So let's turn, if you would, or if you can, to Isaiah chapter 7. Our passage from Matthew was read this morning. But I'm also going to be focusing on the background of Matthew 1 and verse 23 at Emmanuel. And so this is in God's providence, a good thing that we can read Isaiah 7, 1 through 14 and have a little context of our verse today. Isaiah 7, beginning at verse 1 from the ESV, the reading of God's word. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount attack against it. When the house of David was told, "Syria is in league with Ephraim," the heart of Ahaz and the heart of the people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Ashjabub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And say to him, 'Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah.' Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, 'Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it.' Thus says the Lord God, 'It shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all.'" And then again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good." The word of the Lord. Let us look to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless you for your guidance and direction for each one of us and guiding us all to be here today and be able to freely open your word and to remind us of the old, old story of Jesus and his love for us. And we pray that we would be renewed, O Lord, in our love for you, our Savior and our God. Bless the ministry of your word today, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you very much for this opportunity. As I've been out of my pulpit since June, I've been asked just a few times now to preach, and it's a good thing to be able to work through and be prepared and feel encouraged in my own soul as I've been thinking and getting ready for today and trying to come up with some new insights as I've been reflecting on passages I've preached before, of course, at Christmas time. And so we turn to Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:21-23. And so the prophet proclaims, the Lord proclaims through the prophet, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And as Matthew adds, meaning God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Besides this miracle of all miracles that we celebrate at this season, that name, Emmanuel by itself should bring each one of us such hope and comfort. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's all say that together. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Amen. And so this leads us right in to ask, do you claim that name for yourself? Emmanuel, God is with me. God is with me. Out of all the peoples of all the world, of all the generations, God knows me. His name is upon me. And when I claim that name, Emmanuel, I can say, yes, God is with me. Can you claim that name for yourself and for your life, wherever you're at in your life right now, whatever's going on, whatever high or low, and the Lord knows all about that, doesn't he? I know that God is with me, whatever is going on. Now, as far as Ahaz was concerned, I'm glad we were able to read a little bit of this. Not that I'm going to get into this today. You can read a good study Bible and get some of the insight about all that's going on, all the dynamics between Ahaz in the south and the northern part of Israel. But for Ahaz, this name was a sign, a name and a sign that really didn't mean too much to him. And in fact, it was really a name and a sign that he just wanted to reject. He didn't want to hear it. Now, can you imagine that? The Lord, through his prophet, comes to the king, comes to any one of us and says, I'm going to give you a sign. How many people are looking for signs from God today? If only he would give me a sign, right? And what is Ahaz's response? I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Doesn't that sound so pious? Of Ahaz, good old Ahaz there. And the reason for that, of course, is that the guidance, the sign that Ahaz really wanted to hear, the sign that he had in mind was far from what he knew that the Lord had in mind. Like many of us, Ahaz had his own plans, his own strategy in mind for how to fight this fight against the northern tribes, and he was going to form an unholy alliance with the worst armies, the worst, the most horrendous nation of all, and that was Assyria. And if you look in your history, they were just marauders. They were heinous in the way they treated the people that they conquered. And that was Ahaz' alternative idea to what the Lord was offering to him that was backed up by that sign. Now, like with many of the characters in the Bible, how often, you know, we go pointing the finger and how can he do that? But how often is that the case with us, right? How often is Ahaz' mindset ours, that we think we know better than God, right? Or that we can figure things out for ourselves. Or on the other hand, how often would we like to have a sign? Or we say, if only God would give me a sign about some of these major decisions in my life, when we know that God has already given us an awful lot of good, clear direction right here, hasn't he? If we'd only take it up and take it seriously and listen to the wisdom of our elders and the people we rely on that are praying for us, and we would be able to get a lot of good direction just from those fundamental guidelines that God graciously gives us. But it's clear, like Ahaz, there's many times in our heart of hearts we don't want to hear it. I know that's true for me. I don't want to hear it. I don't really want to keep on keeping on. I'm going to go my own way. Joy, see what everybody else is doing, you know? It's a pool, isn't it? We want to set our own course. And of course, when you get into compromising situations like that, like Ahaz did, it gets complicated, doesn't it? And I don't have to go into the weeds about that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there. We've all experienced that. We've all come through those times. And we've made it through because God has pulled us out of whatever it was we got ourselves into, right? And yet, despite our own autonomy and the direction we always want to go that is further and further away from the Lord, right here, once again, God still graciously gives us a sign. Not just for Ahaz, but a sign for all peoples. All peoples. And this will be the sign. You shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin shall be with child. A sign for all time and for all peoples, a people like us that love darkness rather than light. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? Which means what? God with us. That's right. Wake up, snowy congregation. We're glad you're here today. What kind of a sign is that? The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, we've heard that since we could barely get to church, right? We played in all those Christmas plays. We know all this inside and out. But what kind of a sign is that? The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and give him the name Emmanuel. Why Emmanuel? And what does virgin born have to do with this name? Well, of course, everything, right? Everything. Emmanuel has everything to do with who he is and what he has come to fulfill and to accomplish for us. And so we're going to take a little time today to think about this verse from Isaiah and Matthew to reflect on what exactly that means. Emmanuel, God with us, that because God is with us, we are in his presence. He is our provision. And because he is Emmanuel and he is with us, he is indwelling us with his power. Living in the presence of the Lord. That's the great description of our lives before the face of God. Coram Deo, right? We live in God's presence. How quickly we forget and set it aside. But each day we really need to have a reset and come back to that reality. That we are living in his presence. And that's what this name, this title reinforces. He is with us. It's implied in that name, Emmanuel. And really, that's what the name means. God with us. Nothing less than the Lord of heaven and earth, the King of the universe. We are in his presence. He is with us. He's everywhere present, right? Well, there's a couple of ways in which this makes all the difference for us. He is present as Emmanuel as he fulfills God's covenant, right? You know, if you really want to study the Bible, that's the key. The covenant is key, right? You see how God works through these promises and these covenants to fulfill his will in his people. And what's the bottom line? What's the key to the covenant? Well, we're told there in Jeremiah when he renews the covenant, right? What is that? What is that promise? I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. Emmanuel, God with us. It's all summed up in that name. I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. It's fulfilled in this name, Emmanuel, God with us. Well, Emmanuel is not only a fulfillment of the covenant by his name, but it's also a fulfillment of all the prophecies. You know, as we read the text from Matthew, that's the first prophecy that Matthew quotes in his gospel. It's one of 47 prophecies that Matthew includes in his gospel that affirm the authenticity of this book like no other, that has stood for all ages, a bestseller. And it affirms for us the very center, the central person of that book, the Messiah, the Lord's Messiah. And so here in Matthew 1 and in Isaiah 7, Matthew proclaims that this one, this son of Mary, to be nothing less than a fulfillment of what Isaiah had predicted 700 years before, Emmanuel, God with us. This Emmanuel is the child that is born. He is the son that is given. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And this is the one who is with you. He is the one who is with me, Emmanuel, God with us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. So, it's in this one that God's covenant is fulfilled. All the promises of God are yes and what? Amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one in whom the covenant is fulfilled. He is the one in whom the prophecies of God are fulfilled. And he is the one in whom this miraculous promise that we celebrate at Christmas is fulfilled in the person of God's Son. He is the one who is no less than the only Redeemer of God's elect. Now, our brother this morning was mentioning about being Reformed and Presbyterian, and one of the things we go back to, hopefully from an early age, is the Shorter Catechism, and I hopefully don't have to remind you of those truths too much, but, you know, there are some simple and very clear teachings as we think about what the writers of the confession brought about. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures and yet one person forever. Now, those words say it all about who he is, the God-man, Emmanuel, virgin born. And this really gets at what Isaiah is declaring and what Matthew is affirming, that he is God with us, that he is virgin born. He is in two distinct natures and yet one person forever. It's all in fulfillment of just as the Lord has predicted. And you see, this is the miracle of Christmas. This is what brings us out on a snowy Sunday morning to celebrate this miracle of all miracles. Did you ever read J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God? It's been around a long time. It's still a classic. And Packer gives us these wonderful insights about what we're celebrating right now in the Advent season. He says, the Christmas message rests on the staggering fact that the child in the manger was God. Here is the Word incarnate. The baby in the manger at Bethlehem was none other than the eternal Word of God. And then think about this from Packer. The supreme mystery with which the gospel confronts us lies not in the Good Friday message of the atonement, nor in the Easter message, even the Easter message of the resurrection, but in the Christmas message, what we're celebrating right now, the Christmas message of the incarnation. The really staggering Christian claim is that Jesus of Nazareth was God made man. He took on humanity without loss of his deity so that Jesus of Nazareth was as truly and fully divine as he was human. Here is the Word incarnate. The baby in the manger at Bethlehem was none other than the eternal Word of God. So what we celebrate is where it all began, right? And here is what we stake our hopes and our lives on. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We call his name Emmanuel as he fulfills God's covenant, as he fulfills God's prophecy, and as he fulfills God's promise in the person of himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul gives us insight about that as He speaks just a little from Galatians when he said, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And so we call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And that identifies who he is as God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever, as the Word that has become flesh, and we have beheld his glory. But then as you look further there in Matthew, or even in that interview that the angel brings to Matthew in that dream, the angel also gives insight to Joseph and to all of us, not only as to who he was, but what he has come to do, what he has come to accomplish. And that's found in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, another verse that we all know well. Maybe you can help me out with this one. Give him the name,
Jesus.
Give him the name,
Jesus.
Because he will save his people from their sins, right? We all know that verse. We can all turn back to that verse. And that shows us exactly what he has come to do in his very name. He has come to save us from our sins, to rescue us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's what Paul goes on to say in this very same verse in Galatians 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, to rescue us, all in God's time, all in his perfect plan, when he had planned it all, when the time had fully come. Well, as I go out as a chaplain, I work for a hospice agency as a chaplain, and I've been doing this for 20 years. And it's a very exciting thing in many ways, because I go into people's home I've never met before, and I never know what I'm going to get into exactly. But there are people that are hurting and looking for help and encouragement, and I go in and I'm trying to get acquainted with this family in just a few minutes and see where they're at on, as we say, on their spiritual journey, okay, at this point in their lives. And so as I go through and get acquainted, I'm trying to find out. And I'm always on the lookout for persons of peace. Now, you find that guideline in, I believe it's Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the 72. He says, stay with that person of peace. Well, as you're looking for persons of peace, whether it's at the Wendy's or wherever you might be in the grocery line or at the restaurant, that means, you know what, that means you have to be a person of peace as well. You can't be a grump. You've got to be a person of peace, and it can't really be put on, right? But that's what I try to do. As I go and do this cold turkey, greeting people and sitting in their home and all that they're facing at that time in their lives, I'm always looking for a person of peace, a person that's open, a person that might get it about spiritual things. And so that inevitably leads me to just at some point as I'm getting acquainted to ask them, by the way, do you have a church you might have been connected to at some point or connected to now? Often people that are in this situation will decline the chaplain because they do have a pastor. And that's a good thing, okay? But I was visiting a lady the other day, and her two sisters had just flown in from Michigan that morning, and her son and her daughter were there. They were all gathered in this little townhouse. And so we're having a nice chat, getting acquainted. They're putting up Christmas decorations and while mom's there in bed. And so I brought up this question. Do you happen to have a church you were connected to? And her response, their response was, like many people, as I find in this situation, well, you know, we used to go to church. We used to be a part of church. In fact, my mom got us to church all the time. It just happened to be this big Baptist church. And if I named the church, you'd probably all be aware of it up there in Newark. And then her sister from Michigan, who was sitting on the side, chimed in and said, oh, yes, and my sister met her husband at a Bible camp in Michigan. Well, from that, I was good to go, okay? It gave me some good encouragement and confidence to be able to speak more openly about this very thing we're talking about, the Christmas story. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I was able to remind her of that and affirm that to her and encourage her. And then, of course, I had the opportunity to ask, well, can I offer a little prayer? So they were very open to receiving and hearing prayer at that point as we were trying to encourage each other in our faith. And I, at that point, prior to my prayer, felt free to, of course, share John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. We all know it. And, you know, that's basically what I do as a chaplain. All the seminary training, all this background I have, that's what it comes down to. The ABCs of the gospel and knowing his name, right? You shall call his name Jesus. For God so loved the world. It's a time for faith for many people, and God has placed me in that position to seek out persons of peace that he might be working in, that there might be something that would restore them and renew them in their faith. We leave it in the Lord's hands, and yet we pray. So I prayed with her. I hope to be able to get back there again. That was pretty much it as far as that moment was concerned. But who knows what the conversation might have gone on with her sister. But see, that's the privilege that we celebrate once again. We celebrate this reality as it's a matter of life and death, isn't it? Of life and death. The reality of Emmanuel, what? Emmanuel, God with us, right? God is present with us. God is present in your life and in my life. There's nothing that we can hide from him. He knows it all. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're really like, and yet he keeps on pursuing us. He keeps on being present with us, even though we may feel far, far away. Well, God is Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. He is present with us. And so, he is present. He has provided for us in his Son to be our Savior. And then finally, because he is Emmanuel, because he is with us truly, then he empowers us. He empowers us for living, doesn't he? He is with us ultimately so that we can be with others, and in his grace, others might also come to be with him. Now, we've been touching on Matthew 1:23, which is really the Lord's first prophetic word through Matthew to us in this gospel. You shall call he's born of a virgin, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And we find that in Matthew, his last word is much the same. What is the Lord's last word in the Gospel of Matthew? It's the Great Commission, right? And what does he commission us to do? What does he call each one of us to do as we go out and about, as we live, as we are looking for persons of peace? He says, go and make disciples. And that's what you're going to be getting into, I understand, with Dr. Gross in just a few weeks. That's an exciting thing. It's not a program. It's a means for you to, by God's grace, to connect with people, to be a person of peace, and to look, seek out persons of peace and see what the Lord will do. It's exciting to see how the Lord might work, because it's on the road to making disciples. And why does he call us to make disciples? Well, because all authority has been given unto him, but then he also adds this very encouraging word, his last words, in the Gospel of Matthew, right? And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. Emmanuel, God with us. That's where Matthew begins. I am with you even unto the end of the age. I don't know about you, but I find it challenging times in my life to really believe that God is with me, right? Go off by ourselves where nobody else can see, and we wonder, am I worthy at all for this Lord of heaven and earth to be with me? I'm so glad for these confessions in service. We all come to the place of admitting that we're not always with God. We know we're definitely not worthy. Well, I believe we're going to sing a closing hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And the reason I selected this hymn is because the one of the verses is actually a prayer, isn't it? That he be born in us today, right? Be born in us today. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. That may happen for the first time, But by God's grace, as we're on this journey, it's happening every day. As by God's grace, we're reset in that path and all go with him as he, Emmanuel, goes with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so weak, but you are strong. Please continue to pursue us and keep us close to you. And pray that as we live before your face, and as we live in your presence, as we grasp once again this great blessing and experience of being with you, that others might see that and want to be with you as well. And forgive us of the many times we drift away from you. Oh, Lord, renew us and restore us, that we might love you who first loved us. That you who spared not your own son, but gave him up for us all, how will you not also with him freely give us all things? And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand.